Blog Talk Radio. Hello, May. Whoops, we're having some technical problems today.
Today is technical problem. I'm not only where I am, I have no internet, no TV. Well, which is a drag.
I'm literally in cyberspace, I guess. I don't know. We're having some internet issues, but it's not going to keep us from this fantastic show. I'm Cynthia.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait for this show to start. But in the meantime, I have people walking. Oh, you can hear my. I have a cyberspace. Even Alexa even talking to me. I'm telling you, it's crazy.
I know they're working on. All of a sudden, all come online back online at once. That's going to be a freaking disaster. Yikes!
I know. I'll be freaking out. But in the meantime, we are having a great. We're going to have a great show. We've got this guest that she writes the most incredible songs. She has a great voice, and she's got a new EP out. Did you hear it? I heard some of the songs, and I loved some of them.
It kills me when I say this, and our listeners know I'm not a music girl. So for me to listen to music, it really is an effort. I have to tell you, May, I loved this EP. Loved it. And let's just get right into it because she's hanging on and we're so afraid now. I'm afraid to press any buttons because we may go, I don't know what's going to happen. But anyhow, this chick, she's written and produced and performed songs covered by Barbra Streisand, Dusty Springfield, Helen Reddy, The Weather Girls, Dionne Warwick, Frankie Valli. It just goes on and on and on. And we have our roster of remarkable women that we like to call great broads. So here, we're going to welcome to that list our new friend, fan-freaking-tastic, Evie Sands. Evie, welcome to the show.
Hi, May. Hi, Cynthia. I'm thrilled to be on your show. And right now, we are 3GBs.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, baby.
That's right.
Wait, it's a nice little pyramid.
It's and then you and May have a mutual friend, so I kind of feel like, I'm odd man out. However, I have to say a couple of lines, May, because do they not resonate with my life? Take a chance riding life's big rodeo, grab the reins, hold on tight, and off you go. I am so riding the rodeo right now, Evie. That song for me is like my new theme song, okay? Just going to tell you.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And believe me, that it's great because she needs that kick to get her moving. And I've been saying that for a year. She needs to move along here. And
I have one thing to say then, Cynthia, as you know, hold on to your hat. Hold on tight. Hold on to your hat. Rock and roll. Tell no lies. You'll be good.
Evie, I'm not saying this in a bad way. You've been around for a long time.
I mean, I've been doing this since I'm 9 years old. So, I've been doing music has been my life since literally I'm like 2 years old. But I've been doing at least around the periphery of and actually doing things since I'm nine. It's just. As they say, my life, for sure.
It's great. I mean, it's just wonderful. I went to a Vanilla Fudge concert, and obviously one of their songs is one of the cover that you, one of your songs, And every time I hear it, such a great song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, still one of my faves. You're talking about Take Me for a Little While, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, mm-hmm. Take Me for a Little While. What a great, just the idea, just Take Me for a Little While, and that's it. Yeah. Some people That's it. That's all I want. Just that little bit, you know. And I love the way you do it. And then when I heard the Vanilla Fudge doing it, they put a different spin. It's like when you keep me hanging on. They do it in a different spin, and it's
right,
and it's interesting.
Right. I mean, there is, you know, there is another way to take the lyric, which we could say great song of music, but we can trash the lyric on the other side of it as a kind of the maybe the even a bit of a male fantasy of, you know, treat me like dirt, do whatever you want, oh, just any little bit, if I could just have any little bit of you, you know, that's
yeah.
Another, I don't want to spoil your break, put a pin in the bubble, but that is one other way you could think of it.
Oh, no, there's always, it depends on the mood. That's how I look
that's
at it.
That's it, the mood, right.
It depends
usually,
on the mood.
Usually, Evie, my mood is, yeah, the one you just said, okay? So I'm one of the original, I run the man hater club, so, you know, I'm good with the way, your interpretation.
It's funny. Cynthia has this thing about men, because a couple of years back, she was doing a test run here for a book, and she was doing internet dating.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she came up across some,
oh, yeah.
I don't even know what to say. Cynthia, take it away on this one, because you did some, there were some doozies out there.
You know what,
Whoa.
Evie, I think you could write a song that would, it was, I like to call it a horror comic. And I went out, on about 270 dates in like
oh
a year and a half. Yeah. It was brutal. And just so you know, here's how successful it is. I'm still single. Okay.
Yeah, right. So the skip to the bottom. There you go. How about if we were to put that to music? I would call that a cacophony of insanity.
Maybe what I'll do is I'll send you a list of the actual dates. You know, just I'll give you the shorthand version, like the guy who's now in the the guy that showed up with horns, it surgically implanted in his head, but they were his dress horns. The guy. Sister had to drive us because of narcolepsy. Yeah. Okay.
So Cynthia, you got really good at saying check, please.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, I tell May all the time because, and she certainly, because she lived it with her life experience. And a certain someone that she knew for a little bit there. The time when you girls were really fully into the music, it's gone. I don't think we're going to get that time back again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we can say that about probably most things about the way our world is and the way our world works, and music and art and all of it is a part of it. Yeah, it's. I mean, music is the best. It's great. It's forever. But the way in which these things manifest and the way things are done, and of course the way the business and everything is absolutely different. What's the buzzword? You know, business model. It's like it's all different everywhere.
That's,
I mean,
true.
I just think that there's such an innocence that's been lost about everything, you know, and I, music in particular, even movies, it's like, or maybe it is, girls, tell me, has every story already been told in music, in movies? Have we run out of material?
Well, not really. I have one thing that brings to mind. There's a story that kind of blew my mind. A few years ago, I heard this thing about something that happened in the government. Okay, so going back to the 1890s, the government is always, the United States government, always looking to cut corners and budgeting and all that kind of thing. So the person who was the head of the U.S. Patent Office had an idea as a way of contributing, saying, oh, I know how we can cut a few dollars. why do we have the U.S. Patent Office open? We don't need it. We should close it because, okay, get ready, here it comes, because everything has been invented. Hold that in for a second. 1890s, hey, you know, we've got the cotton gin and we've got all this industrial. What else could there be? This is in the 1890s. So the only reason I say that is, like, when you say, has every story been told, or is everything, every movie and every situation been depicted in music or film? I mean, yes and no. There's always another spin on it. There's always another way of emotion to express something, I would think.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I mean, who would have thought, if you look at today's situation and you're looking at our government now, who would have thought the changes that we just saw in this, within this last 100 days, the things that have happened?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. It's kind of like, well, there's, yeah, we could go down a rabbit hole there, couldn't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, who would have thought that
it's inconceivable.
It's
what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why songs, you know what, I feel back in the 60s, obviously, that's my favorite period, 60s and maybe early 70s. But, you know, when there were songs, there were songs. They convey something that I really could relate to. When, you know, when, whether it be the Four Tops, the Temptations, whether it be the Beatles, whether it be the Stones, there was a song that you could talk about. You know, it's like that American Bandstand when they rate a record.
yes,
everybody
right.
Would say, what do you give it, 45? Why? Because I could hum it. I had a good beat. Well, nowadays, I don't know some of the songs. And I'm not putting down all the types of songs. There are certain songs I just can't relate to, that I can't believe it's out there, you know.
Well,
so
one thing that I can speak to as far as just writing goes, it's very easy to, let's just say, to be crude. So, for example, if it's a song, it's about love, it's about sex, it's really easy to just be crude and, as they say, like, cut to the chase, right? Bang. Use every crude word, and that's fine. But in a way, it takes a little bit more to be creative, to create a little bit of, like, how can I say this a little bit differently instead of being exactly crude? And so in these last few recent years, obviously, the standards are such that lots of, we're listening, talking about songs where things are said, and I'm not saying it's good or bad, I'm just saying it's like, right to it, where prior to that, one had to be a little more creative about how they expressed basically the same idea.
Absolutely.
So,
you're right. And it was, and that's, and I would say that even, like, for instance, when, why a lot of people could relate to the Beatles, their wording, the way they said it, they can,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people can just relate to it immediately. And they, you know, John was always clever with his
mm-hmm.
words, and he
mm-hmm.
was able to do that. And when you hear the like yourself, you know, the Goffin King, all that, those words were beautifully said, that I could,
mm-hmm.
simple, but it was
yeah.
able to give it out to people and understand it. Nowadays, you're right, when it gets to be like, yeah, I hate your guts, you know, we go, wow,
mm-hmm.
say it like that, really?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. There's a lack of cleverness. You know, we've become complacent almost, and there's been the undercurrent of mean-spiritedness has been going on for several years now. It's just almost
mm-hmm.
kind of like spicy, and but what I find, and May, when you talk about the Beatles, they find a clever way to say something to take you on a journey with their words. It's just, now I'm a writer, not a songwriter, Evie, but I write. That's what
mm-hmm,
I want to
mm-hmm.
take you on a journey with my words. When the journey is a slap in the face with a wet towel because I've just come right out and said, you know, you're a scum, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my journey? You know,
mm-hmm.
where's my adventure? And
mm-hmm.
I think that the lack of imagination, May, and you hit it, the lack of cleverness is just so apparent. And it's not for everybody. Like May is really into Bruno Mars, and I have to say she made me a Bruno Mars fan, okay?
Right.
Adorable.
He's great. I mean, he gives you the whole package.
Well, and just to say, as always, in any era, I mean, the 20s, the 30s, back in the 1900s,
right,
and now, there is always fantastically talented people, music, songs, and things that are really great and are creative and imaginative and paint pictures, you know, whether it's clever or just have nice ways of saying things, musically interesting. But as an overview, there is, like what we're all saying, there's a, you know, just a kind of unimaginative or cut to the chase or just a directness, you know, like F-word, F-bombs or whatever, just straight ahead. And it's like, yeah, we can all say that, but is that always what we just always want to say? I think it loses a little bit of the meaning if we're more selective when we withhold those things for just special times and try to express ourselves a little more creatively.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So on your new EP, where can someone get it?
Well, there are some multicolored vinyls that are available in stores. We're about to do officially release both the CD and the digital version, which when we do, it'll be kind of available everywhere in the usual online places. In the meantime, it is the vinyl and the CD are available on my website at the moment, for sure. At least I could say that with certainty. So eviesands.com.
That's what I want. Yep. Because I want fans to be able to, you know, to hear the things we're talking about that we got a chance to listen to. And so, you know, I wanted to know where they can get it. You know, nowadays.
Thanks. I mean, for sure, at the moment, on my website, there are samples there of everything. And, it's available. And as I say, shortly, there'll be the usual digital release, so it could be streamed or downloaded. It'll be the CDs and, you know, more such as the brick-and-mortar indie stores are, there will be. But the safest thing to say at the moment is just right now is just head over to my website and they could have a listen.
What about your touring? Are you touring? Where are you going?
So we had a really great record release show in L.A. where I live at kind of a legendary place, McCabe's, which is just a great place to play. And we're booking some dates now. I'll be playing, in New Orleans at the Ponderosa Stomp Festival. That's early in October. And right now we're working on dates for the Northeast. So your neck of the woods, May. Hopefully.
Ooh.
I'll... You.
Oh, I can't wait.
Like in New York, I'm not sure it's still being worked out whether it would be like the Cutting Room or Iridium or stuff like that right around where you are.
And
just the Northeast. We're looking at some stuff. It could be Atlanta, Nashville. So, Cynthia, that would be your world. And and then Bay Area, California, and then we're looking at I need to get back over to the UK and Europe. So that's... We just kind of get everything sorted. You know, it's not the easiest to get all the tour dates and things together. But yeah,
I know.
I'm so excited.
I
love playing out and seeing and meeting people, and it's such a great joy.
Oh,
well,
believe me, I am so looking forward to seeing you.
And sorry, May. And
no, I was just saying, go ahead.
All these instruments. You play the Glockenspiel?
Yeah, I did on the new EP. Yeah,
I'm not even sure what that is, but I'm impressed. Okay,
it's if you think of a xylophone. Okay, if you picture like a xylophone or a little vibe, but think of it like it's small. It comes in a small case, like a vibes, but you know, really small, and you have different types of mallets, and you just like strike the keys, so the keys look like the layout of like a piano, you know, like three and two and
oh
that
God.
Type of thing. And it's,
because, you know, I'm always looking, Evie. You know, I keep threatening May. I'm starting a band. I have no musical talent at all, but I feel like I can do it. And the clock and chill, May, sounds like something I might want to tackle. Okay, so
why don't you tell her what happened? What was it that you got?
Oh, yeah.
Was it
May has these fabulous parties, these barbecues, and some of her friends dropped by from a Blue Oyster Cult, and they were playing Don't Fear the Reaper, and they gave me cowbell, and it was immediately taken away from me. I didn't even strike it twice. They walked by and took it. I was like, well, fired from the cowbell, and it wasn't even twice. Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But I got nothing. But I'm so excited for, I always love when we get the women on, and it's like their full package. You write it, you sing it, you play it. It's incredible. It's great.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I did a lot of the engineering, produced it, all that good stuff. You know, one thing we can talk about, just like we GBs here, is I'm really sad that we're in the 21st century, and even though things are better, it still has been an issue for women. This is true in the film industry as well, but in music, because we're talking music, that for women, for producers, you know, for producers and engineers, it's way better than it was, but that was some of the stuff that I definitely went through, which was, yeah, great, you can sing, okay, you can write songs, well, you know, you can play instruments, well, you know, you play kind of pretty good for a chick, those kind of things, but ooh, you want to be an engineer, ooh, you want to be a female producer, and it was like the, you know, the suits were not ever really terribly enthusiastic or supportive of that, whereas it could be a kid with zits who was 13 who knew nothing, who knew maybe, as you say, Cynthia, as much about music as you, and suddenly they were groomed, you know, to take over this then, you know, very expensive studio time, the way, as you guys know, the way it used to be. So that's one thing that I still am looking to see an improvement.
Yeah.
Or like women directors in film, you know, the same kind of thing.
I so agree with you, because
yep.
I've had my issues. I've actually talked about that, because being in, first off, in the early 80s, I was in the music publishing business, and I'm with a very well-known company, and I hate to say I was in Nashville for this one, and I was asked, you know, you're in a group shot, you know, as you're coming down on the red carpet, so to speak, and the guy, the photographer, just looked up, so there's 13 of us, 14 of us. And he looks up and he says, "You get out of the photo." That's all he said.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
No, he just said, "Get out of the photo." And we're all looking around like, who's he talking to? And he said, "You get out of the photo."
Oh.
And finally I looked at him and I said, "Are you talking to me?" He said, "Yeah, you." And at that moment, everybody in the group says, "Are you kidding me? She is our East Coast professional manager." And and so it just turned out that way, and somebody came running up and said, "Take the photo." Just take the photo.
Wow.
He didn't want to take. Yeah. So I've had my share. I've had. So,
well, every female had. I can't imagine any female who has not had their share. So you know what that says, May? It says he probably thought, "Oh, you're like the arm piece of somebody here. Get out."
Yeah.
You're not possibly an executive. You couldn't be a suit because you're a female. So, excuse me, we don't want you in this photo.
Oh, I know. So it was,
it's crazy.
It was crazy. So
well,
that's why.
You know, girls, I agree wholeheartedly. I don't know if we'll ever get total what we need, but we got to keep pushing forward and fighting and saying, you know, why do we have to qualify our talent because of our sexuality? That makes no sense.
Gender, it should be based on skill set and abilities and just how, whatever, people work and play and, you know, works and plays well with others. If we like someone and their skill set is great, then it shouldn't matter if they're male or female. They should be the one who gets the job. or is encouraged and has the given the opportunity and or groomed for these things. But as we all know, it's just not been the case. And to say it is way better now than it used to be. But even on the radio, like when you were saying, like, because I've been making records, like I said, since I was like a little kid. It used to be that even when, and you guys know this, even when the record was starting to move up the charts and starting to get better airplay, what they used to say at the radio stations was, oh, yeah, okay, we're going to add your record this week, but, well, you know, the rotation, well, we just played a female. So we're not going to play a record by another female for like another 8 hours. That's what went on. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
That's why. People don't realize what went on the behind the scenes.
It's just
but definitely.
Wrong.
Yes.
It's wrong.
It is. I agree with you. Evie, I am 100% behind you.
May, and you guys can answer this question for me because I'm not a music girl. Do you think that part of that there's also kind of a backlash because women will shriek and scream for guys. Oh, the Beatles! Oh, my God! Guys don't do that for women performers, do they?
That's interesting.
I think some. I don't say it's a lot. I think the men have it differently. Like they're into. I've seen men when they like a band, they're more not so much a single person but a band. Like a heavy metal band, a real heavy rock and roll band, they're in there going rah rah like you do in football or someplace like that. But
yes,
I agree.
Do you girls think that men that there's male groupies?
Oh, there are.
Oh yeah, there are some for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. You know what it is? I think the social behavior, the whole structure of social behavior, the way quote unquote men or women or girls or boys are encouraged to behave or what's deemed acceptable or not acceptable is sort of different, you know, kind of given the wink or the nod or sanctioned by society. So there are some guys who might want to go, oh my gosh, but it's kind of frowned or shunned a little bit, like in general, whereas for women to kind of be, as you said, Cynthia, you know, gaga, ah, and like go like that. Oh, that's perfectly acceptable, you know, or the dopey girl who's just screaming, you know, brainless girl screaming kind of thing. So I think that has a lot to do with the behavior. Plus, you know, they're maybe wired a little, like we're wired a little bit differently, but I think, May, you hit it. It's more that rah-rah, like football, whoa, like they, you know, cheer like that.
Because, you know, we've all gone to concerts. Maybe not you, Cynthia, but we have. And when you see them and where they are, they're, you know, yay, you know, hey, go for it. You know, if it's an Ozzy Osbourne or somebody like that, you could see that.
Okay.
And it's not so much the female in that when you look out in that audience, it's more male, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's how I think how it's divided. You know, anybody that's really sweet and lovable and what, like the Rolling Stones gets both. You can see
mm-hmm.
that because the men and the women come in. So
mm-hmm.
it really does come in there. Cynthia, you're going to have to go out there more often. That's all I'm going to say to you.
You're just going to have to be more exposed to, I paint a tawdry picture. I can't hold a tune, but I will listen to one, okay? I'm just going to, I've grown. And you know, well, when we first started doing the show, Evie, I said to May, what am I going to do? I'm not a Beatles fan because we have a huge Beatles following. But through May and through the Beatles fans, I've learned to respect the magnitude of what they have achieved. Okay. It is unparalleled. And, you know, so when we have, and we've had a few other, broads on. I don't know if you know BB Buell. BB's rocking.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, I do, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know personally, but I know who she is, yeah.
So we've had, and I read up on you, Evie. Yeah, I checked you out. And it just seems to me like you've done your career your way. You've done it your way. This is how I'm doing it. I'm still here. I'm still cranking out the songs, and I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time.
Yeah, seriously, it's just as amazing and fun and exciting to me as it was, I mean, when I was 2 years old. It's, I always say it's a blessing and a curse, because, I mean, there's any number of different things I could have done that were different, but this is it. This is just, I cannot see a time ever, as long as I'm alive in this world, that this is not what I do. It's just what I do. It's great. I love it. It's magical for me.
And you do it great. So, you know.
Oh,
so,
thank you. Thank
no,
you.
No, you do it great, and I love your music, and I think you're one of the great broads, and that's what it's about, you know, and I admire you. And that's the whole, yeah.
I'm honored. Thank you. Thank you
so much. People don't say that often enough to other people. And when I see people, that's for instance, and I say it, I'll go up right, I'm going to say I love your music, or I don't, or I won't even say anything. But when I love somebody, I want them to know that how they affected my life. And that's one of the things I've also done in recent years, is John and I used to talk about the great music and who he used to admire, who he loved, and what affected him. And I go up and say, and I would tell them, and, you know, and tell them how much John liked their music, because he will never be able to say it to them, but I can, you know, so that they know. I mean, one of, you know, there was an artist, and what was it? Thomas. All of a sudden, I can't remember her first name. It's terrible. But
Carla Thomas?
Carla, thank you. Carla, and I went up to her, and I said, John loved your music. And she looked at me. She goes, John Lennon likes my music? And I said, yes. And I told her the song. She goes, oh, my God, that was the B-side. I said, yes. And he was a big B-side lover. He loved the B-side.
Was it the other side of Gee Whiz, Look at His Eyes?
No, he liked, all of a sudden, all these things that I meant to say.
Maybe the B-side of that one?
I Can't Take It, or something like that. It was, it was one of those. And I remember he would tell me, he goes, this is a great song. And he would love to always play the 45s on the B-side. He loved all that, because that's for him. And he might, you know, just what we were just talking about, all of that. I said to him one day when we were talking about his rock and roll album, one of my favorite songs was Angel Baby. He goes, that's mine too, you know. So he ended
Rosie and the Originals.
And the Originals, exactly. He couldn't believe that, even though we were not, we were 10 years apart in age, it was the fact that we both loved the same music. He was kind of surprised that I said, I got it firsthand. I used to tell him, I said, I'm here, American Bandstand, you know, I got it all.
right. You know, one thing you said, which I think goes even back to the civility, is it is such a lovely thing to be able to say nice things to people when we mean it. You know, again, like you said, not because we're blowing smoke up, you know what, but truly when we feel that, what a lovely thing, a lovely piece of energy to put out in the universe and directly to that person. It just feels good, and it's so nice. It's a great way to live, I think. I love that.
I think that it is so amazing that, you know, I'm just lucky in that sense that I want to give that person who, you know, Carla would never have thought that in a million years that John Lennon's listening to her music. And I wanted her to know that. And it would be the same to whoever, you know, I said something about Carole King. I said it to her. I said, one of the first songs, You Might As Well Rain Until September, was one of the early songs that John got turned on to Carole King, and I told her that. And she looked at me, she goes, really? I said, yep. it's if I can remember, because these are conversations that I remember in spurts, that we would have conversations about songs. And I love doing that. I love to be able to tell the artist, if I got a chance to say, listen, here, you know, this is something. And it means a lot to a lot of people, and I know that.
Oh, it does. Well, because in turn, the flip side is when we in turn really like and admire somebody's work and different parts of their work has has meant so much to us. As you say, if we happen to find out, because we're artists too, or whatever, we could be carpenters, I mean, but something that we've done, and we find out that this person that we admire, their, you know, their work so much, it means so much to us, that they know something of our own work, and that means something to them. It is, it's like, oh wow, it's such an, as you say, it's such a nice thing, you know, such a lovely thing to find out.
Absolutely, especially when for her it was somebody that was so, you know, one of the great musicians that changed the world of music, you know, part of the group, to all of a sudden saying he recognized me, you know, and that's, if I could do that and make them, you know, give them a little bit of knowledge of what, you know, that somebody else really, that John did like that, I'm very happy to do that, you know, and I was glad to do it, you know. I find
you're
it
good
fun.
About sharing that stuff, May. You always have.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Listen,
like
Evie, we are running out of time, but we are so excited to have you on the show. Will you keep us posted on what's going on with Shine for Me?
Yes. Oh, yes. And I'll keep you posted about travels, because we definitely have to continue these conversations in person, I think, too.
Absolutely.
Don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I am there. I am there. So
I really look forward to that. That's, you know, 3GBs in person, look out.
That's right. Get that.
Absolutely.
Set aside a few hours and see you later.
All right,
exactly.
Cool.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. I can't wait. I can't wait.
All right, Evie, we're going
to have to say this has been just a total, absolute pleasure for me.
Awesome.
I want to thank you so much for having me on your great show, which I love to listen to. And you great broads are fantastic, and I've just had such a good time.
Right back at you.
Right back, yes. And we'll be seeing each other soon in person.
We got a deal.
Okay,
definitely.
That's cool.
Take care, Evie. Great chatting.
Okay, take care, and till soon.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Okay, she's my new favorite. I love her. All right?
I know.
Before we get off the air, which is in like any minute now, I'm going to try to, if all goes well with our internet thing here, play out one of the songs on her CD. And it is fantastic. So
I know.
We've got about 60 seconds. What's going on with you? Quick.
I'm still working on my show, that, you know, my exhibition that will be going on starting July 22nd up in Fall River at the Narrows Gallery for the Arts. So hopefully I'll see people up there. Artist Night is August 9th. So
all right.
See you all there.
All right.
And I will talk to you soon.
I'm going to call you in a bit, honey. Hang on, because I know I got to reach on your phone. Yeah.
All right. I'll call you. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You call me. All right.
Okay.
So we are winding up here. That is Miss May Pang. We had Evie fans. You've been listening to May and Cynthia's dinner specials. And if this works right, I'm going to play Rodeo.
Let it float and dry around. Remember to breathe, hold on to your hat, and rock and roll.